How do you kill 11 million people?
It has happened time and again throughout history.
What is the method used to do something so diabolic?
Could it happen here in America?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Our guest is best-selling author Andy Andrews, author of How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. 11 million people is a staggering number, more than several states combined, but 11 million innocent people were killed by the Nazis between 1933 and 1945. Why does it matter then?
History always matters. We either repeat history or we use history as a great lesson. We look at that question, how do you kill 11 million people? You would look at relatively few Nazi soldiers and tens of thousands of people loading themselves onto boxcars, and it made me think, why didn't they fight? Why didn't they run? What's going on? And so when I found the answer to how do you kill 11 million people, it stunned me, because I knew it was a method still being used today by some elected leaders to accomplish various goals. How do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. I'm very concerned about my country, especially at this point. I have kids. I'm worried about what their future holds.
How do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. It's not easy to kill that many people. I think you had a good comparison. In your book, you wrote about going into a theater. If a lone gunman with an automatic weapon entered a crowded movie theater, he could mow down a few of them, but he sure couldn't kill 300 because most would run or hide, or some might even shoot back. So when you think about 11 million people, why didn't they fight back? Why were they so passive? They just went along because they were lied to.
Yeah, there was literally a policy of lies that was created and disseminated among the Nazi ranks to convince Jews and the people being exterminated that they were okay right until the last minute. I mean, they'd circle the neighborhoods and tell them this was temporary because the front is getting too close. Go ahead, live your lives, go to your work, everything's fine. And so it was a lie to convince them not to fight, not to run away. The third and final lie was when Adolf Eichmann, who was in charge of that Nazi genocide, would actually come into the ghettos and talk in front of literally thousands of Jewish men. He was by himself with less than 30 people and only half of them armed. So 15 guns facing thousands of Jews, and he would basically tell them why we have gathered you here together. The Russians are advancing on our eastern front. We have to evacuate this area immediately. It's going to be a very short train ride, but we have jobs for the men, factory jobs. There are schools already in place for the children. Women will be able to stay home and care for their families. Short ride, but we're going to be crowded on the train. So quickly, my friends, gather your families. Please keep your families together and board the trains. And so the fathers were comforted by the fact that there weren't many armed guards. The idea made sense to them, and they were allowed to keep their families together. He said, it's going to be crowded on the trains, but we haven't got far to go. And so they packed at least 100 human beings on a cattle car designed for 8 cows. They packed them in there and then padlocked the doors. Well, at that point, when they padlocked the doors, it was over, because the trains never stopped until they got inside the death camps. That's how you killed 11 million people.
Eichmann said, we brought you into our protection, and we don't have time to explain right now, but you have nothing to worry about. There's a lie. We want only the best for you. You will leave here shortly and be sent to very fine places indeed. You will work there. Your wives will stay at home, and your children will go to school. You will have wonderful lives. We will all be terribly crowded on the trains, but it will be short. But I mean, they're promised a rose garden. They think they're really going to a better place.
Yeah, and the circling of the community with barbed wire. They said it was temporary, but it was almost so we could protect you from the Russians.
Right, right.
Because initially, the Jews weren't even allowed to have their own businesses, so they knew something was up. And then they were given those yellow stars, and so they were differentiated there. And then they began to go into hiding, so they must have realized something was up.
The barbed wire might have given it away.
Yeah, but don't you see this today? We are a very optimistic optimistic people. We tend to want to believe the best about other people. We tend to want to believe the best about our own futures we see today. I mean, you'll talk to somebody about a specific lie that was told by a politician, and they'll tell you, no, he said he wasn't going to do that. And we're like, look at what he's doing. He's doing it. And they say, oh, no, don't you remember in the speech that he made so-and-so, he specifically said he was not going to do this. So people will even deny their own eyes. And this is where Christians need to ask for discernment.
People believe a lie when it's in their own best interests, and you have to watch what a person does more than what they say.
That's exactly right. And this is why we must wake up. All this happened in Germany in the 30s and 40s when the country was at an economic bad time. They were longing for better times, and you know, this guy comes along. He never really done anything in his life, but he's passionate, articulate, and promising more and better. And we tend to look back on that and we think Hitler took over. He didn't take over. He was elected. Elected. After he was elected, began to take more and more power and circumvent the processes that were already in place, circumvent their version of Congress. People kept saying, well, he didn't say that. He said this. And before long, it was too late. It didn't take many people to do this. There were 79.7 million Germans in Germany at that time. And at no time, even at the height of its popularity, did the Nazi Party have more than 8.5 million members. 10% of this country took these people into horror, while 90% of them sat around and go, well, you know, what can we do? History would say, forget what somebody says, look at what they do. But so many people sit around and go, wow, what can you really do? And they allow it to happen. But it only took 10% of the people of Germany to move that country into darkness. Certainly, it only takes 10% of us to move our country into a place our founding fathers intended. We are waking up. We don't have to get 100 million of them to move. We just have to get 10 or 12 million of them to move. When you look at the people and you're not really sure you like the people, then you have to look at the team that they're on. And I don't know that we are waking up in time, but we are waking up to move the ball down the field and to keep it out of somebody's hands. Look at the issues that are important to us. You know, I've got a 12-year-old. My 12-year-old boy asked me, what is abortion? So what I did is I showed him a video. And I said, do you know what that is? And he said, it looks like a baby. I said, that is a baby. That is a sonogram that the nurse did, and that's you. He said, it's me. I said, that's you, buddy. See your toes? See your fingers here? I said, that's you. And I explained what abortion was. Of course, he was horrified. And I said, now, some people think that's okay because that's not really a baby. Hasn't been born yet. But buddy, you and I know now, that's you. If you look at the numbers, there are a lot of little Austins that we don't have anymore. But our president says that fatherhood begins at conception. That's what he said. And he said, right. I said, so right there, look at that. Is that a human? He said, yeah, it's me. I said, right.
The title of your book is How to Kill 11 Million People, but we could write a book on how to kill 50 million people in this country. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, 50 million children have been killed, slaughtered inside their mother. So many pro-life Christians will be forced to pay to have other people's children killed.
We're already doing it. Our taxes are already being used to fund abortions in this country and fund abortions outside our country.
How can a group that is being led to the gas chambers act in such a submissive, willing, docile manner and not go berserk and attack the guards, not fight back? They're going to die anyway. Why not try to take out some of those guards, some of the enemy, before they're killed?
They didn't know they were going to be killed.
Our guest lived in Germany during Hitler's tyrannical reign. He was a German soldier, even a Hitler youth. Hilmer von Kamp is the author of Defeating the Totalitarian Lie. A former Hitler youth warns America.
The majority of Americans just don't understand. Every American has been under the attack by godless people, our enemies from the radical left. They have put us in the position where we have accepted the separation of state and religion. And what I'm trying to do is to warn the Christians to get up onto their feet. I went to war not for Hitler and the Nazis, I went to war to defend my fatherland because I thought we were attacked by the British and the French and the other nations which were against in the First World War. Now they're coming a second time, and we said we first must win the war, then we can deal with the Nazis.
You were fighting. What part of the war were you in?
I was very happy that I was not on the Western Front and had to fight the Americans. I was a gunner in a tank before the Red Army, the Soviets.
What was it like to become a prisoner of war?
The first time I thought I might not come out alive, they had nothing to eat for us. We had a march, which we called the Death March, and I remember we even killed a horse and eat some raw meat of the horse. Beans soup, which was water with five beans in it. And we had bread, which was mice bread. Mice, is that the right word? That was foul, terrible. Blah. I can't eat anything of this nature.
Oh, yeah.
Arthur Richter, ask you the question. How is it possible that a cultured, civilized nation with millions of Christians who regularly go to church, who espouse the highest moral standards of the Bible, could commit the most atrocious crimes known to man?
He said to me, ever listen to God? I said, no, I didn't do that because God wouldn't have time to listen to 2 billion people. He said, well, did you ever try it? No, and I told him, I am a Christian, I go to church every Sunday. And for the first time, I realized that it was people like myself who say they are Christians, but they don't live as Christians, who are responsible for the actions of the godless. I asked Jesus to clean me, and I gave my life to God, and I would make restitution for our national sins and for my own sins, and that's what I'm doing since then. America has a mission from God. I think the creation of the United States is a creation of God, like Israel. And it would be a great shame if we would ourselves commit suicide and do the things all other nations are doing. The communists, the socialists, the Nazis, the national socialists, they all feed from the same fountain. Socialism is the consequence of Karl Marx. It means a return to our constitution. And if we still have, not sure we have, an election which is honest, then we would change all of this nonsense which government people do. Better we should get them out of their office now.
Hilmer von Kamp giving us a strong warning. We are being led down the same road as Hitler led Germany. As the Nazi war machine focused their guns on crushing England, Churchill spoke these challenging words to his people. If you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, there may come a moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a small chance of survival. There may even be a worse case you may have to fight when there is no hope for victory because it is better to perish than to live as slaves.
If you read The Hiding Place, any of these, especially Christian biographies of people who are caught in those camps, you will understand these people remained optimistic, remained faithful. They thought, if I can just last and keep my kids or keep myself, then maybe that. But that point, they're inside the camps. It was too late to individually fight because if you fight, you die.
It's like the frog in the boiling water. It's just warmed up a little bit, a few degrees every few minutes, and so they're unaware that they're being cooked to death. And I thought Adolf Eichmann was classic. He told the Jewish leaders that these barbed wire fences were just for their protection. They were brought here to be protected. I just think the lying was believed, and I think the same thing is happening here.
Hindsight's easy. We see the horror of the Holocaust, but the horror of the Holocaust could come to America.
Look, let me tell you something. The truth of this matter is, if you look at history and scripture agree. Governments with too much power are the worst perpetrators of evil and destruction that have ever been known to man. The United States of America is the longest tenured government on the planet. There are other countries older than us, but as far as one continuous form of government, we are the last.
It's around 200 years for all the world's greatest civilizations, but why do these civilizations all seem to follow the same sequence from bondage to spiritual faith to courage to liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy to dependence, and finally dependence back into bondage, and that's happened in America.
It's happening now. I have people ask me, where are we on that fatal sequence there? So where do you think we are? And over again, I get this answer. They say, we think we're in apathy. And I say, no. we were in apathy 2 or 3 years ago. Now, we are well-entrenched in dependence. Dependence is the one right before bondage. People have said, we want to leave the right America for our children and for our grandchildren. I got to tell you something. That is great, but right now, you better start thinking about yourself.
That's good.
Because it's happening now.
Boy, that's for sure. We are in bondage. Just 1 year's interest on this colossal debt exceeds the entire 1972 federal budget. Isn't that amazing?
Is there hope?
Yes, there is hope. But we've got to turn it away from this cliff. My dad was a minister. I grew up in the church, accepted Christ as a young man. This is my life. But I get very aggravated at some of my Christian brothers and sisters who sit around like the three monkey statues, you know, hands over mouth, hands over ears, hands over our eyes. And nothing is more horrific to me than the statistic that 100 million people don't vote. But 65 million of them identify themselves as Christians?
Oh.
Hey, that's us!
Oh, that's bad.
You know, there is a correlation between this country and the German people. 90% of the German people were not in the Nazi party, so what did they do to stop Hitler? They stood by silently and watched and covered their eyes and shut their ears and remained silent. So the vast majority of Germans did nothing, and so when the Nazis came for them and their children, it was too late and no one was left to help them.
In at least one German town, the railroad tracks ran behind the church, and it's happening today, I believe, in Christian churches across America as little screams are coming out. The blood is crying out to the Lord because of abortion.
A lot of people don't realize these 11 million people, only 6 million of them were Jews. 5 million of them weren't even Jews. The Jews were just the first ones to be grabbed. And all these other people, all these people sat around and watched it happen to the Jews, and then it started happening to them, and it was too late. I found this eyewitness account in at least one German town. The railroad tracks ran behind the church. This is what they said. They said, we heard stories of what was happening to the Jews, but we tried to distance ourselves from it because we felt, what could anyone do to stop it? Each Sunday morning, we would hear the train whistle blowing in the distance, then the wheels coming over the tracks. We became disturbed when we heard cries coming from the train as it passed by. We realized it was carrying Jews like cattle in the cars. Week after week, the whistle would blow. We dreaded to hear the sounds of those wheels because we knew that we would then hear the cries of the Jews en route to a death camp. Their screams tormented us. And when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. By the time the train came past our church, we were singing at the top of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang more loudly, and soon we heard them no more. Years have passed, and no one talks about it now, but I still hear that train whistle in my sleep.
Wow, that's so profound. They sang louder by the time the train was passing the church.
Compare this to the church in America, Andy.
People are singing as loudly as they can. It's aggravating. Right now, it doesn't look like we can turn this ship around, but we have to move it away from the cliff. We have been horribly guilty of not going out to vote just because a candidate did not meet every single requirement that we had.
And so if we don't like our government, what are we doing about it?
It is in our hands. It is still at this point in our hands.
Those Jews in the boxcars, once that padlock was shut, it was too late. We still have time, but we need to educate the people. Only 1/3 of all Americans can name all three branches of government. Only 1/3, Andy. 1/3 can't name any of the branches of government. We've got a really dumbed down populace, and it's easier to undo corrupt leadership than educate a deceived population. We can survive having chosen a fool as our leader, but a nation of fools is surely doomed.
Everybody has a circle of influence. Everybody has 5 or 10 or 50 or 100 people who look to them to point them toward a more educated view.
Christians are called by Christ to be the salt of the earth. And if you don't bother to vote, how are you salt? How are you preserving anything? What kind of salt are you?
salt and light, salt preserves, right? We're illuminating to educate a population of people who are quickly becoming too deceived to turn back.
Yeah, Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, the great masses of people will more easily fall for a big lie than a small one, and keep repeating it. Eventually, people will believe it. And so we have people in this country saying, the separation of church and state, don't mix religion and politics, stay out of politics. And so we rarely hear a sermon on elections or politics from today's pulpits. And yet past generations of Americans knew the importance of electing godly leaders, and that's why pastors preached election day sermons to inform and motivate their people to get involved. But today, the media has taken their place. But as believers, we have basically abandoned politics so that unbelievers have filled the void, and they're taking us down the road to destruction.
I couldn't agree more. The financial crisis, you know, is the most predictable crisis in American history. Every elected official in Washington, D.C. knows this is coming, and they won't do anything about it for fear of not being reelected, and that's our fault.
Incredibly, there are currently 545 human beings who are directly responsible for every problem America faces. 545 men and women.
One president, 9 Supreme Court justices, 100 senators, and 435 members of Congress. 311 million of us and 545 of them. You would think that at some point we could impose a collective will on these people. And so we must. We should take control here. We're going to have to.
Our government has done what no enemy could do to us. They've spent us into bankruptcy. They've squandered the wealth of this nation. Our government is our greatest threat to our freedom. More than any foreign enemy or terrorist, our own government is our biggest threat to our freedom and prosperity.
America is 4% of the global population. And yet from that 4%, there have been more patents, more copyrights of books, of music, more inventions, more technology has been created by that 4% than by the other 96% combined. Sometimes people say, well, we just happen to be on natural resources. Well, you look at South Korea and North Korea. That's the same landmass, same climate, the same everything. And yet people on the north, they are not free, and on the south, they are free. Prosperous country where in the north, people are eating sticks and dirt to try to fill their bellies, and they're literally starving to death.
What is sad about America is the fact that it was founded by Christians. But 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that prayer was unconstitutional in the public schools. 1963, Bible reading removed. 1980, the Ten Commandments removed. Countless times since then, we've had court orders taking Christianity out of the schools, and we wonder what has happened to America.
How many people consider themselves Christians and how many people believe in prayer in schools? Look at the marriage issue in California. The people voted, we want marriage to be defined as a man and a woman. But one judge said, nope, sorry, can't do that, and overturned the will of the people. And then later they found out that he had been in a relationship with a man, and yet we allow that to stand. Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes said, we are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judge says it is.
The problems we face today are because there are a lot of people who work for a living, but they're outnumbered by the people who vote for a living. In other words, the people are voting for those people who promise them the most, and so the politicians will promise whatever it takes to get them into office. And that reminds me of Eichmann and Hitler and all these other dictators. And so that's how they get into office. But Thomas Jefferson said, this democracy will cease to exist when government takes from those who work and gives it to those who don't. People are realizing they can vote themselves largesse from the treasury.
Right. Abraham Lincoln said, if destruction is going to be our lot, then we ourselves will be its author and finisher. It is horrific to see what happened in Germany and to see which way our country seems to be going. But the huge hope to me is the fact that there are 65 million Christians who are not voting. I look at that as we have not ignited those people and their passions. That's why I wrote the book. And help people get mad enough or scared enough, outraged enough to vote. We've got to take this country back. It's time.
Our guest has been Andy Andrews, author of How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. As Andy Andrews said, 65 million Christians don't bother to vote in this nation. What will it take to shake them out of their apathy? Voting, and voting intelligently, is just the beginning. When Hitler was running for office, the German people had no idea the horrors that would come upon their nation if they voted for him.
Hitler didn't seem like a Hitler then. He lied to the German people. That's how 11 million people were systematically killed.
What if our government instituted martial law to quell dissent in the streets? What if a few years from now, or even months from now, you look back at what you took for granted, once gone, religious freedom, and all the other rights and freedoms that we have and that we cherish would be gone forever? William Penn said it best when he said, "We will either be governed by God or ruled by tyrants." The choice is clear. One nation under God or Caesar's superstate. Jesus came to set the captives free and give us our freedom. But our founders, if they could, would look to you to see how you value what they gave you and what you do to preserve it.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1907, Why the Truth Matters, Part 2. That's number 1907, Why the Truth Matters, Part 2. The CD also includes last week's program, Part 1. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a CD, call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000 from 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.